Hi, everyone. My name is Ben Opapari, and this is the Songwriters on Process podcast. Since 2010, I've been interviewing songwriters about their writing process. And on this podcast, we go deep, deep, deep into the writing process, far deeper than the usual. Do you start with the lyrics or the music question? By way of background, I have a PhD in English literature, and I'm a prose writer myself. I'm not a songwriter. In fact, I've never written a song in my life. But my goal has always been to treat songwriters the same way that we treat prose writers and poets, just as writers, plain and simple, and I've always been interested in the writing process. This is an intelligent conversation between two writers. And on this podcast, like I said, we go deep into the process. We talk about rituals, the seeds of inspiration, the role of movement on the process, writer's block, the revision process, pens, pencils, types of paper, and of course, we talk about books. You can find all the archived interviews on the Songwriters on Podcast website and across all streaming platforms. And with that, let's dive into this week's episode. And today on the podcast, it's Jane Penny from Tops. Penny has a debut solo album, or solo EP, I should say, out April 5th, called Surfacing on Luminel Recordings. It's great. I love it. I'm also a big Tops fan. And I have been a fan for a while. I think discovered them through the magic of the streaming algorithm. And so, this is a big, I really enjoy this conversation. For me personally, it's always fun to talk to songwriters whose music I love and to hear how they created it. So, but we had some great, there are some great, great nuggets of information in this podcast, in this interview. First one, Barry White. This is the first Barry White reference I think I've gotten on a podcast, on this podcast before. Talked about how she's a fan of Barry White's songwriting and how that even influences her songwriting as well. And also how she's got to write in cursive. Wow, what a lost art. But she, Penny mentions how cursive, writing in cursive is an important part when she writes lyrics, because, and you'll hear what she says, but it's a good reason why, kind of, when you write in cursive, you maintain the flow of the letters. And so that's also an important part of her process. We talked about also letting the external world in. You know, I hear from some songwriters how they like to consciously observe and listen for external stimuli. She does that, but it's not really conscious, it's unconscious. And her quote from the podcast is, she said, "I like to let the extended world in, and it sets the table for inspiration." So here's where she often finds the inspiration: going to shows. So if you see Jane Penny at a show and she's on her phone, it's not that she's not paying attention. She's actually probably jotting ideas down into her phone, into her notes app. So, you know, don't complain if you see her. She's not one of those people on their phones the whole time. There's actually a purpose for it if you happen to see her, but she's often at shows and getting inspired in that way too. So anyway, I enjoyed this, this conversation a lot. I hope you do too. And with that, my interview with Jane Penny of Tops. Oh, again, just to reiterate, debut EP comes out April 5th. It's called Surfacing on Luminel Recordings. So check it out. And now, Jane Penny. Do you like to create every day in some fashion, whether it's songwriting or any type of writing? Some songwriters feel like, you know, they have to create in some fashion, no matter how bad it is. They feel like they'll just kind of create when the mood strikes and they don't want to push it. So where do you fall in that?
I like to work every day as a creative person, if that makes sense. Like, but I guess there's just different levels of creativity. Like right now we're finishing a Tops album. And so, you know, there's recording vocals. Like that's obviously a part of the creative process, but it's also, you've already made a lot of the decisions, say, about like lyrics and melodies and all that. So yeah, it's been a long time. Like I've done sort of like blank slate songwriting, I would call it, like when you're just like going to a piano and just trying to see what happens. just because of the ebb and flow of everything. And now doing a bit like with Tops and then also my solo project, I'm kind of stacked up just like working on the recording and then doing the promotion and stuff for this. But definitely like having that outlet of doing something creative every day and having that as a part of like my daily life, even if I'm promoting something, is super important to me, like just in terms of my own sanity. Yeah.
So do you go out of your way? Like you say, I need to do this every day. I guess, is this something at fall that comes naturally? Or is it, I mean, some people talk about the ritual, like they get up and they write, you know, every day, regardless, no matter how bad it is, but they make that a dedicated part of their daily routine. Or does it just come naturally to you?
I think, well, all of my writing kind of often starts harmonically, like with music often, or at least like the words usually almost always come after the music, if that makes sense, or like in combination with. So I kind of, when I was living in Berlin, I had a little studio at home and I would just go to the keyboard every day and then just find myself there. And now I'm living in this tiny place in Montreal and I have a studio because David, my bandmate, has a studio here. So I'm doing this like work personal life where you go and have more of a routine. And it's definitely better. I'm really enjoying it. But I definitely have like every day I wake up and I do the certain things at home and then I go to the studio and have that time. Be it like if I'm practicing or writing or working with David, but just I need to have that kind of reminder that this is what I'm doing, if that makes sense, so that I can anchor myself there. And then in terms of like, I guess inspiration is a completely different thing because often like the most inspired I'll get or like times that I'll be like really opening my phone and phone notes app and like writing down things, it'll be during another person's show. Like that happens all the time. That I'm actually like at a live show and then I get extremely inspired just by the idea, just like whatever creative power that they have. And just like, yeah, that's something that happens a lot. Or like, you know, I think ideas definitely come to me all the time. So I'm kind of like always open to that. But I think you also have to kind of like set the table for inspiration to find you, if that makes sense. And like structure your life that you're like, yeah, like you're saying, kind of like understanding your identity in that way and kind of making that commitment every day.
So if I see you at a show, then we have to be clear that you're not, when you're on your phone, you're actually creating. You're not one of those people that's on their phone at the show, right? You know, and
yeah,
doing other things. Let's make that very clear that if someone sees you, there's creativity. I can just see this being, I saw Jane at a show and she was on her phone the whole time. I can't believe it.
Oh man, I'm always trying to be really fast with it and like, you know, angle the phone down and like contrast zero, you know, but like it does happen for sure. Or like, yeah, I think external, you have to let the external world in if you want to have anything happening like inside.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So, but I want to get to the notes app question because this is something that comes up all the time because, you know, songwriters tell me that they have thousands of voicemail memos or things on their notes app and there's no organization whatsoever to them. And so when they try to find something, they frantically scrolling through for that idea. But the advantage of the disorganization is that sometimes they'll see something that they ordinarily would have passed over. So I guess, is there any sense of organization at all to those voice memos and those notes on your phone when it comes to lyrics or melodies or anything like that?
My notes app is like grocery list, notes from a phone call, like lyrics, and then, yeah, like passwords that I'm trying to remember. Like it's total chaos, but I guess the notes app thing, I usually reserve that for like when you kind of need to start digging for things. It's not like somewhere that I would go immediately if I was like, I guess the ideal scenario is that you just write something in a moment and that like you can inhabit where you're at like emotionally and kind of create something that way. But yeah, like I guess especially with David, like when I'm collaboratively songwriting, you know, there's times that we kind of just sort of have like a little scrum and we're like going through things and trying to like, you know, write the third verse of a song or just like write a song from scratch, whatever it is. But then it's more like, oh, what was that word that I saw? Like, what was that? Like, oh, let me look at that. You know, like, let's see, let's just like bring it up. Let's like use thesaurus.com or whatever. And like, you're just pulling at everything to kind of do something. I think that's often like more of a collaborative form. The brainstorming thing, to me is always like with someone often versus like kind of a more channeling, like a lot of times with my, when I'm by myself writing, it's more about just getting really deep inside my head and seeing what almost comes unconsciously to me.
So explain that to me, because I like what you just said about getting deep inside your head. So, where do you do that? I mean, and how does that happen? I love what you just said. I'm curious, how do you get deep inside your head and write things?
I mean, like at night alone, but, or just whatever. But, I think the piano is a nice, like I find that when I'm playing, my brain kind of goes into a different space. Like I think the act of making music definitely does something to one's brain. So often just like the feeling of the chords and stuff, it will just, I just kind of go to a little bit of a different place. It's like a place that I go to in my brain. I think it's pretty similar to dreaming, honestly.
But do you write, I guess, do you write, when you're going deep inside your brain, are you writing, I mean, words actually, or is that music?
Yeah, a lot of times we'll just, maybe this is like a bedroom producer thing, but I'll have the mic on recording and I'll just kind of go and just see what happens. And then I'll kind of workshop that like raw material. Like that was something that I was doing with my solo stuff a lot, because this whole EP, it all came from the production first. So I created all the instrumentals and kind of like a soundscape that I want to build something that felt like it had a specific emotional identity, but not necessarily with words built in yet. And then I would just kind of like put on headphones and sing, and the melodies and words and stuff would just be kind of like a response to whatever state I could get in listening to the instrumental, which is pretty different than like with Tops, for example.
So, and for the solo project, then, if I'm hearing you correctly, the words just kind of happened because of the music.
Yeah, like it was very much a music and production and kind of like sound universe first, and then taking like, how does it make me feel to live in this world? And what are these like sounds? How do I articulate what it is that I was trying to create emotionally with the sound? If that makes sense.
It does, absolutely. I've never heard that answer before, which is why I think it's so cool. So I want to get back to the routine, and let's talk about the environment first, because this is something I hear a lot about songwriters. I mean, songwriters tell me that they are deliberately, if they're out, they're deliberately looking at billboards, signs. They're deliberately trying to overhear conversations for a phrase or a word. I remember I interviewed Britt Daniel from Spoon a couple of years ago, and he told me that I love this image, but he would sit at a bar with a laptop and just listen to conversations and write things down. He's hearing people talk. And I thought, wow, imagine seeing, you know, Britt Daniel from Spoon just in a bar and thinking, what is he? He's actually typing out conversations that he's hearing. So are you, you know, you talk about the environment, but are you unconsciously receptive or are you consciously receptive? Because I think there's a difference there.
I haven't done that kind of like purposeful eavesdropping or something. I guess I'm a pretty, I definitely like notice things around me, but I think it's more about getting into like my own place, like emotionally, and then trying to kind of like figure out how to transmit that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's not so much an outer world thing. It's more like more of an inner world thing. But then, yeah, I have a tendency also to like, in that way, I'll write songs that to me are about like five different things that all make sense. But one of them will be like a real relationship I'm in. Another thing will be like swimming. And then another thing will be like my childhood or something. And then I'll like try to explain that to like, David, who when we're collaborating on stuff, he'll be kind of like, well, why would anyone else understand any of that? You know, but somehow I don't know if it matters that much. Like, I really do like abstract kind of, strange images and things and working that into the songs. And then I think it's also really, I guess I also have like that sort of dedication to classic songwriting, in a sense that, like, yeah, I feel like everything that I've done has always been kind of like verse chorus. I really like love songs. I like talking in sentences and songs. I like it when you can kind of hear, like somebody, like I was thinking about lyrics that I really like lately that have kind of hit me. I'm listening to this Barry White album because I got my hi-fi system set up finally in my new spot. And I really like, I think it's a great like breakfast making album, but he has a song where he says, "Girl, you're my reality," you know? And that's like, that could sound, it's not like, it's not a 10 out of 10 lyric, like automatically, like I can see that sounding super bad in a lot of different songs in a lot of different contexts, but in that context of his song and like with everything that he brings to it, and it's just, it's amazing to me, you know? So I think rather than trying to like figure out like what kind of weird thing I'm going to reference, I'm more like, how can the most basic sentiment feel so powerful? And what's that alchemy that leads to that, you know?
Well, that is what makes poets, right? I mean, they're able to take, the metaphysical poets talked about, you know, common things like The Flea by, I think, John Donne. That was not my specialty, but I remember, you know, the metaphysical poets talking about taking that ordinary object and making us see it in a way. But I guess all poets do. I mean, I know that's a different type of writing, but poets, that's the beauty of good poetry, is it takes something that an everyday object and it makes you see it in a way you never saw it before, right? I think that's kind of what you're talking about with what you're trying to do with songwriting, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I try to think, I should read more poetry in my life because it's always really satisfying too. But like I feel like I read a lot of Sylvia Plath poems at one time, and she'll just like talk about something in her apartment or like something really banal. But then you meet a person through the way that she's doing that, and you feel how they're feeling in that moment. It's like, I think that I love the transportative quality of music. That kind of just like sharing other people's emotional like realms with them.
So you mentioned emotion. Is there an ideal emotion when you tend to get your best writing done?
I feel like there's easier things. Like, I feel like the hard situations and angst like lends itself really well. But then I also try to create other atmospheres. Like, I've definitely at times been overly aware of like, am I making too many sad love songs? I want to make one that's like happy, you know, like that's another, you know, people always talk about, oh, there's songs about love, but there's also like, I think celebrating love is kind of an interesting thing versus like, you know, hard times and all of the issues that people have, that kind of thing. Definitely. I think I run to music at times of need for sure. Like that's, yeah.
So definitely. The other thing I want to mention is you talked earlier about just getting it out there, no matter kind of how good or how bad it is, you know, initially. And that the equivalent to that is when I was a professor, I would always have my students read this essay by the author Anne Lamott. And the essay is called Shitty First Drafts. And her whole point is that first draft of anything has to be atrocious. Like, don't worry about perfection. That's what grinds the creative process to a halt, is when we think too much about what we're doing and not just about getting it out there. And for a writer, I think that's, you know, I'm a writer too. And I think as a writer, the last thing I want to be doing is thinking about the words on the page rather than just getting them out there. And that's why I love that shitty first drafts idea. Just everything is supposed to be bad. Don't worry about how it looks. But it sounds like also that's, you kind of operate that way when it comes to music. Is that right?
Yeah, I think a lot of the different aspects of making music and also what it means to be a musician today, especially for someone like me that can be like run a little bit on the sensitive side. Like, I think it's really important to make a decision about when to bring in a critical lens on what you're doing. Like for songwriting, I think that, you know, it always, I'm really of the belief that it always needs to happen. And that's something that I always try to do, is kind of really look critically at the lyrics and structure of everything that I'm doing, any song that I make, before I actually commit to it. But that's like the last step, you know? And I think, yeah, it's always this push and pull between like allowing creativity to flow and then trying to kind of like steer the ship of what you're doing. Especially if you're collaborating with people, because then there's also their feelings and everybody's experiences are coming in. You might, you know, it takes time to understand where people are coming from.
So I want to talk about revision, because I'm always interested in the revision techniques when it comes to lyrics. So, and we'll talk about ritual, because I think having a ritual is key for me, at least. But part of I have two things I do. I never write and revise in the same place. So if I happen to be writing in this chair, I'll revise in that chair behind me. I never write. I feel like spatial distance is key. I need to separate myself from the creating when I go to revise. Here's what I also noticed about myself a couple of years ago. So if I finish something in the morning and I look at it later that same day, I'm still too close to it. There's something about it where I feel like, well, I made it. Of course, I'm not getting rid of anything. But if I finish something at night, if I wake up, all it takes is one night's sleep and I wake up the next morning, it's unbelievable how aggressive I can be in my cutting of things. It's almost like one night of sleep made me look at maybe a new person. And it was like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that. So because you also mentioned writing in sentences, and I think that probably involves more revision than I would imagine than writing, you know, just standard verses. But I'm curious, what do you have any kind of process like that when it comes to distance from something in the revision process, anything like that?
Yeah, I think objectivity is super important. And like, when you're saying that about needing to have a different space, I think for me, it's needing to have time. Like using time a lot in terms of like, just allowing yourself to get that distance so that you can see things in a different way and allowing things to kind of marinate the way that they do. And then in terms of like, like the actual revision and stuff, I think there's just a lot of things that I think about. And then it's sort of like you create these rules. Like, I don't like things to sound overly diaristic. I don't know if that's a word, but like a diary. I don't like it to be like, I don't like it when it sounds like, I'm just like if it's about how I'm feeling and somebody else can't inhabit those feelings, then that's a no for me. But then I also like statements that feel really like that somebody's speaking. So it's all about like also, you know, using you and me tonight. Every time this kind of thing, like being careful about that. But then I also am like the one that is always doing that and fighting for that to make sense. And that's like, obviously the way it needs to be. So I think, it's good to have like a way of, I like to have certain kind of like things that I can scan what I'm doing for, like little, just, and I don't know if lazy is the right word, but just sort of like tendencies and things that can kind of make things a little less special than they could be. But then I also think that like you can never really have a hard and fast like there's almost no rule that I've made for myself that I'm not feeling like I could break anytime.
Right.
But I think those rules are really important, and it is really important to kind of like dissect what you're doing and try to make it make it strong enough on its own that it can mean something to somebody else about their life. And they have no idea why you wrote it. And like the number of times that people have come up to me and been like, I know what all of your songs are about because they're about what I'm going through. You know, that to me is like, that's a huge sign of success and like a huge compliment to receive.
So I'm going to use the word, you said diaristic, right? We're going with that. I'm going to use it. Listen, that's how language
sounds. A little crazy.
That's how language gets formed. I mean, how else do you get these words? So we're doing it right here. So When you write those words like that are diaristic, do you, are you aware of it as you're doing it? And do you stop yourself or do you let it go and then go catch those things later on?
I think what it is like everyone's feelings are important, but just because you had a feeling, it doesn't mean that that's a good song. So, you know, honoring the like emotional integrity of, or the place that things came from, but not assuming that whatever you feel is necessarily like that you articulating your feelings is accomplishing the same thing as writing a song. Because I think, to me, every great song has its own identity, and it's like almost its own entity. So if it's just an extension of your own feelings, yeah, it's hard to explain. I feel like I hear it happening a lot in music, especially now, when like, you know, another thing I was thinking about with songwriting is like that Barry White song. I was like, I wonder who, even in my head, I'm like, I wonder who he's singing about. And then you look up, there's like four songwriters on the song, you know? So that craft aspect, I think, is really interesting to me.
But what I was saying
was kind of like, versus the kind of like idea that, oh, like I'm an artist, so anything that I feel is going to, has weight, a special weight that's different than somebody else's. Like, that's not an achievement to me to like feel a feeling.
But do you catch, I guess what I'm saying is, when you write those things that sound like a diary, do you just write them and say, I'll look at it later? Or do you stop yourself and say, that sounds like a diary, I shouldn't write this, and then scratch it out? That's what I was kind of getting at. If that makes sense.
I try not to. And then if there is something that I feel, it should be there, I guess it's more about shaping this, that the song has more than that. Like, I think it's okay and good for things to come from a true place, but I just feel like it's good to also demand more from that piece than that.
Yeah.
Like, so just, it should never be that should never be where you stop.
Right. So you mentioned swimming earlier, and there was an article in the Washington Post about 6 months ago about why we get our best ideas in the shower. And I love to talk to songwriters about this, because this idea that happens because when your brain, when you're involved in an unconscious activity, that's when an activity that requires no conscious thought, that's when the unconscious bubbles up. So, you know, especially during COVID, I think when people were stuck inside, it was more, but people tell me how they get song ideas when they are folding laundry, doing the dishes, gardening, vacuuming, any of that stuff, you know, swimming, walking, hiking. I think we could also break it down into, we probably could, like, are the ideas different when you're inside doing those monotonous activities versus outside and locomoting, you know, actually walking? So I guess that's a long way to say, is that a fruitful place of creativity for you in those moments?
I mean, I think for me, yeah, like, what music is often involved, and maybe that's why I'm a musician and not a poet. That would be my argument, that I'm not a writer, because I actually need there to be music involved, I think, in a way, even if it's watching somebody else play music or something. And then otherwise, like, yeah, sometimes things hit me. I definitely really, being underwater and like taking showers and baths and also swimming and stuff, being in oceans, all of that is like very important for like the maintenance of my like sanity somehow. Like, it's just so calming to me. And I just really like, I'm always gravitating towards that. So that's why, like, on the cover, I'm like underwater. I don't know. It just felt like it made sense, like, that this is where, I don't know. I think I definitely relate to that, but I don't know if like, it's more about, getting my, I try to be pretty, treat my psyche as well as I can to create a strength within myself to be able to express myself, if that makes sense. So like I feel like a lot of my time in the external world is more about like, just like feeding, that myself, and nourishing myself in a way that I can like then go and have energy to put towards creative things. Whereas like, for example, some people on tour, they can write music, and that's just like not at those times. I'm just like so focused on the specific, you know, all of everything that goes into like the travel and all of the social aspect and performing and everything. I would never yeah, I kind of have to like, yeah, treat myself in a certain way and give myself a certain amount of space and time to be able to like really write, or have people in the room that I can work with in that way. Like David and Marta from Tops, we've written a lot, just the three of us, where Marta's doing the keyboard, David's doing the guitar, and then I'm just doing the melodies and the words. And at the end of the day, we have a whole song. And everyone's just done their part in a sense, but no, obviously everyone's like really required for that too.
Yeah, so, but do you get ideas other times when you're out and an idea comes to you almost spontaneously when you're not thinking about it? I guess that's what I was getting at.
Sometimes, but honestly not. Like, because I have friends that will like sing as they're walking around and things are just like hitting them or whatever. Yeah. It's not so much like, it's really kind of is a place that I have to go.
Yeah.
And be. Which, yeah, it's interesting. I think that can be, it's, at first, I think I dealt with a lot of, I used to be concerned, like, for example, if Martin and David were coming by, I always felt like, well, if I don't write any words, like, then it just doesn't happen. Like, I was very, like, I can't pressure myself. So I would do this, like, I call it, like, hum and a hey now, when you're just kind of like, da-da-da-na, hum and a, and you're just like, whatever. But then there's such a danger there because you're committing to something that's not real, or at least you're committing, the melody's there, but then you can get stuck in a loop of trying to write the words for, it could take months and months, or it can never happen, you know? So now I find that something about, yeah, creating the environment, like, and then putting that pressure on myself to just like really get something out, and really write it in that moment. I think, yeah, that's become my favorite way to try to work. And then obviously like having that period afterwards of like revision and kind of brushing things up. And then when you actually go to record the vocal too, that's another thing, like as a vocalist, like the delivery and everything can change so much. The song for me, like what actually sounds the best in the recording at the end of the day. And then sometimes I've rewritten whole songs in that context too. So
speaking of writing, I always ask songwriters, when it comes to lyrics, are you a computer person or a pen and paper person?
I was a pen and paper person for a long time. I still am, if it's just like, if I'm writing and just like creating on my own, or if I'm like with Marta and David. And then the computer is when you get real with shit and you're like, okay, yeah, we're making decisions. We're noticing all of the like places that the rhyme doesn't make sense, or you use the same word twice, or there's too many like boring articles or whatever it is. Like that's when you're getting the like editor's lens on things and committing. I like writing cursive. I'm like ancient person in that way.
Nobody does that. Okay, hold on.
But I really like writing cursive. I always have.
So I've been doing this for 14 years. I've heard two things that I've never heard before. One, a Barry White reference. Two, I like to write in cursive. So I think you were born in the wrong era, clearly. That's amazing. It's funny. Our kids can't read cursive because they don't teach it anymore. So they've had to learn how to write their own, how to sign their names but that's another issue altogether. I'm not sold on the fact that people need to learn it, but that's another discussion. So, why? Okay, I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, why cursive? And I love that. I find that songwriters are also very particular about color of ink and even brand of pen and paper. So, do those things matter? But also, why cursive?
Well, the cursive is it's just a really direct flow to me. Like when I was a student, I would take notes and I wouldn't have to look at the paper. I would just kind of like, you know, just digest everything and just write it down, like almost like a dictation. And then I would just read it before the test or whatever and be like, okay. Like it's weird. It's like the stream, it has a stream of consciousness kind of like element to it.
Yeah.
That I really like. But yeah, I used to write postcards and like cards for friends in handwriting. And then now I'm like, when you actually see them, like if you're there when they're getting it and they're like trying to like make sense of it, I realized I was like, this is not even like English to people anymore. So just, yeah, I have to like print. But But yeah, grit, it's, we're talking black pen, definitely inky pen, grid, small, like small grid paper. I like coils because I like also then can rip out pages for set lists. And like this size. Like, yeah, I have my book here, obviously. Yeah. And then,
wait, why the grid paper? You mean that actual like graph paper?
Yeah, like graph paper.
Why? I've never heard that. Three things I've never heard before. Why graph paper?
My dad is the same, actually. It's you can draw or write. It's not like you can treat it as like a plain, one solid plane, or it can, you can use the guides for writing. I think that's part of it. I'd often find that I don't like to be limited by the actual distance between the lines. Like sometimes on like kids, like cahier or whatever, there'll be like so much space that, yeah, I don't want to have to like format. I want to decide how big I want to write in the moment. And so like the grid just gives me like a basis that I can work on. I don't actually have to go in between the lines, if that makes sense. I also do like a lot of I Ching, and it's nice for that. It's like nice to like draw them out. I don't know.
I'm just, my mouth is open because I'm just amazed at this. I love this answer so much.
Also like to-dos and stuff. I doodle a lot. I don't know. I guess I just, yeah, I definitely go through, like this is like extremely important for me to operate as a human. Like just, yeah. But it's also, it's actually very similar to my notes app where like if anyone was to look through it down the road, they would be like, oh, there's this like poetry and then there's like a notes on a phone call and then there's like a like I should want to clean the bathroom this week or whatever. it's all one thing. And I used to kind of think about more about like how that's presented or how what's the results of it are, but now I kind of just treat it as like this is a tool that I use to like get my thoughts organized and my life like have a handle on my life. So I just kind of just, yeah, I just kind of go through, like, I used to try to separate the notebooks and stuff, but now I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Like just, yeah, every day, a new page, whatever happens.
So I have two thoughts again. So I interviewed Jerry Harrison from the Talking Heads, and he's a visual artist also. And he said that he has to have he loves a felt tip pen because he loves the scraping sensation of the pen on the paper. I thought that was really cool, that idea that he has to feel that resistance. So here's my theory, because I'm the same way, is that like if those lyrics are on a notebook that also has your shopping list, your to-do list, all those kind of things, that by doing that, we make the process less precious, which is a good thing. So if you only have a notebook dedicated to lyrics, there's more pressure. But if those lyrics are interspersed with everything else in your life, it's like just another thing. And I think about songwriters who tell me that they like to write, to do that, they write lyrics on the back of like utility bills. And you know, because again, it makes it less precious and less pressure. So I wonder, I don't know the answer, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm curious if that could be an element of it, is the less pressure, the more productive it is.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, it's just a tool. I think it's, yeah, I haven't, to be honest, I'm not trying to flex or something, but I haven't had a real issue writing songs in a long, long time, which is nice. Yeah. So I think I haven't had to worry about whether or not like there's a pressure to it or anything like that. But definitely I do a lot of, I'll write lyrics to a song and then I'll rewrite them the next time I'm working on it. Like I don't go back. I'm not like trying to find, oh, what was that place that I wrote that song? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that kind of like administrative aspect of work and stuff. Like I can see how some people would do that. I feel like I kind of have to resist that. Anything that would feel like I'm organizing anything.
Yeah.
Like, no, where some people would be like, maybe some people love to get out the highlighters or the labels, or they have like a whole, you know, like there is something like that. But I think that's also why it is important to get to type out lyrics for me at some point, because they can kind of exist in this loosey-goosey cursive zone of my head and like sketchbook or whatever. And then at some point, you know, that, yeah, that is important to kind of like solidify things.
Yeah, I hear that a lot too. I think that's not uncommon that the first step is the, you know, on a piece of paper, then putting them into a computer, whatever, makes it more real. Mm-hmm. So, all right, two more questions. One, we talked a little bit about ritual, but I absolutely have a ritual to my process, time of day, things I have to have with me. That's a confidence thing for me. I fear that, and it's probably not a good thing, is that I use that as an excuse, like, oh, I'm not in that place, so I can't write now. I'm not here, or it's not that time of day. But the fact is that there's a ritual when I'm at my best. So is there, you know, and to me, like I said, that's down to a favorite chair. So is there a time of day, place, things like that? Are those things important to you at all when it comes to songwriting?
I mean, I think I try to be flexible, but nighttime and is definitely a thing. And then also like there's a, in the studio that David has, there's a specific like chair, like area of this room that I do actually sit in usually, when I'm doing the like writing stuff. Like we all kind of have our little corner. And I always find that really interesting when you work with a band, like how whenever you go to practice or write, and there's always this sort of dynamic that forms. Everybody ends up where they end up, even if it's like the bass player is standing 10 feet across from the bass amp. Like it's not, even if like the format of where all the gear is like kind of prescribes a certain setup, everyone always kind of like, it's like, what is that, like the desire path, you know, that like when there's like a path in through the grass or whatever that forms.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Those are called desire paths or whatever. Like,
yeah. So that's part of the ritual.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's interesting the way that human beings behave. I feel like I went on a total tangent. Didn't answer your question actually, but.
No, you did. You said that you set up in a certain place, but.
Yeah. No, definitely. But I think also like routines wise, lately, I'm trying to do this thing now because I just moved to a new city. I moved back to Montreal and I'm living alone. And I also entering a certain age, I guess, where I think routines become really, you realize how paramount they are. And like also realizing that like as an artist and in my certain ways, I'm never going to really get up with the sun or, you know, necessarily be clocking out of work at 5 p.m. or anything, but then having my own routine of like when I'm preparing food, when I'm doing my groceries, like my exercises and all the different, like at this point, my days are kind of, there's definitely like kind of a Groundhog Day effect happening where I'm going to the studio kind of at the same time every day for the same period of time, more or less. And there's a whole series of events leading up to that that are just like, I guess, whatever maintenance of myself, you know, like exercising and eating and all that. I don't know. Just it's kind of funny, but it is getting more and more honed. And I really find that interesting too, to look at like different artists' routines too. You'll find, and writers, I think especially writers, they'll often have sort of like non-negotiable blocked out time.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you read the interviews in the Paris Review with writers, and they absolutely know. I've never read any interview with a writer who says, "Yeah, I write what I feel like, and I get up if I feel like writing." It's always down to maybe the things they wear, or absolutely there is that sense of routine. I don't think any writer will tell you differently, which is interesting because songwriters often don't have that, but prose writers absolutely do. Mm-hmm.
Songwriting has that ephemeral nature of like you could write one song that's like the best song of all time, and you could write every other song that you write could be completely mediocre. So
yeah,
that's kind of, I understand, but I guess I'm lucky. Like if you always had that expectation that would be happening, then like, you know, you probably, that would be tough for sure. But I guess there's so many different aspects of making music that I'm involved in, so I'm lucky in the sense, like right now I'm doing a lot of vocals. So that's also, when you're recording vocals, you really have to kind of like, it's the most that I feel like an athlete or something, where it's like, I really have to make sure that my body's like in a state to do that, you know? Because there's a physical limit that you hit. I feel like writing songs, that's not as much of an issue. and maybe you can get a little bit more out there in terms of how chasing that experience or whatever, finding your way. But yeah, it just depends. I really enjoy all the different aspects of it, to be honest. Yeah, I feel very lucky to get to be a musician.
Well, let's end with this, because we've talked about poets and about writers, and I find that songwriters typically are voracious readers. You know, to me, there's always a through line between lyrics, you know, how much writing people do, how much reading people do, and the quality of their lyrics. So who do you like to read? Are you a genre person? Are you an author person? Who are some of your favorite writers?
I'm going to get in trouble here. I'm not really like a huge reader.
But you said Sylvia Plath, though. I was so excited when you said Sylvia Plath.
She's got it. Things that have really, really, really influenced me. Martha Graham's autobiography was like hugely influential to me. And then I read this book called Perfume, The Story of a Murderer, on the fall tour that I was doing with Tops, which is all about scents. And it was really interesting from like a musical perspective to like, I feel like music is and scent, sound and scent are kind of the two of the sensations that I find the most interesting in terms of the least quantifiable, but also kind of like the most powerful in terms of like the grip that they can have on us in a moment or whatever of experience. So yeah, that was a fun one. But yeah, I'm not, I watch a lot more movies than I read books, to be honest. So I don't have like, or I'll read authors like Welbeck that I'm like, I don't really want to rep Welbeck. I feel like I said I don't read, and then I made talked about a bunch of things, and now I just feel like I sound pretentious. But I don't think that I read that much.
And some songwriters tell me they go to art, like Hemingway famously said, every writer should go to art galleries to get inspired. And I always think about that, like how we get inspired by other types of art than the art that we are engaged in.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely imagine a lot of writing that I've done, there's a sort of an imagined, like a cinescope version of it in my head, like of a certain place that I'm going or a world that I'm trying to be in. Yeah, like almost like movie scenes and stuff. I think that that's also pretty common for songwriters. I don't know if you found that.
Definitely. That
often. Yeah.
So do you get inspired then? Do movies inspire you as a songwriter?
I mean, it's like in the sense of like fodder for your imagination, for sure. One thing, I've been kind of nerding out on Kate Bush recently, and she will be like, oh yes, actually I wrote it from the perspective of his mistress in that, like, you know, like not even the main character, but like some, like really just, and that is so sick. And I would like to do that, but that's not something that I, like in that sense, I haven't done that. But I do think that's some next level shit for sure.
And that's it for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget my book, Desolation, a Heavy Metal Memoir by Mark Morton with Benno Papari, that is me, comes out June 25th on Hachette Books. Mark is a good friend of mine. He is one of the guitarists in the band Lamb of God, and this is his memoir. It's a damn good book, if I do say so myself. But again, that book is out June 25th on Hachette Books. You can pre-order it now everywhere, your favorite online bookstore. So be sure to do that. The site, Songwriters on Podcast, contains all of the archived episodes of the podcast. Of course, you can find them on all streaming platforms as well, but they're also on the site. I only have had the podcast for about, I don't think even 2 years. Before that, all of the interviews were transcribed, and that took a lot of work. And that's why I started the podcast. So if you want to read the interviews that I did before the podcast, they are on Songwriters on Podcast as well. There are about 200 of them going back to 2010. So check those out. If you want to get a hold of me, Ben@songwritersonprocess.com, or fill out a form on the website. I'm here for your questions, your complaints, your concerns, or your interview suggestions. I'd love getting those as well. So hit me up. I will try to respond. So that's it, everyone. Have a great day and see you next time.